Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Brihatma Ganga ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 14, Text 51. Maitreya Uvacha Shrutva Bhagavatam Potram. Shrutva Bhagavatam Potram. Amodata Ditir Brisham. Amodata Ditir Brisham. Putrayoscha Vadam Krishna. Putrayoscha Vadam Krishna. Viditva Sin Mahamanaha. Viditva Sin Mahamanaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Shrutva Bhagavatam Potram. Amodata Ditir Brisham. Putrayoscha Vadam Krishna. Viditva Sin Mahamanaha. Vaishnavis. Maitreya Uvacha. The sage Maitreya said, Shrutva by hearing. Bhagavantam, to be a great devotee of the Lord. Bhotram, grandson. Amodata, took pleasure. Diti. Brisham, very greatly. Putrayo, of two sons. Cha, also. Vadam, the killing. Krishna, by Krishna. Viditva, knowing this, asit, became, mahamanaha, highly pleased in mind. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The sage Maitreya said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. Purport. Diti was very aggrieved to learn that because of her untimely pregnancy, her sons would be demons and would fight with the Lord. But when she heard that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her two sons would be killed by the Lord, she was very satisfied. As the wife of a great sage and the daughter of a great Prajapati, Daksha, she knew that being killed by the personality of Godhead is a great fortune. Since the Lord is absolute, his acts of violence and nonviolence are both on the absolute platform. There is no difference in such acts of the Lord. Mundane violence and nonviolence have nothing to do with the Lord's acts. A demon killed by him attains the same result as one who attains liberation after many, many births of penance and austerity. The word brisham is significant herein because it indicates that Diti was pleased beyond her expectations. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Om Aginata Madandasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, has everybody here heard of Albert Einstein? Is he still famous? I'm talking about the younger people. Dr. Jimmy and Dr. Okay, so he's still famous. Famous as a great scientist, great personality. So towards the end of his life, he was interviewed, and he was asked, if you could have one question answered, what would that question be? And supposedly, Albert Einstein, without any hesitation, he said, well, I want to know, is the vital force, you know, at the very origin of creation, is it benevolent? That was his question. Pretty intelligent question, right? Pretty important, relevant question. And then he went on to say, after he asked the question, he said, I don't presume to know the answer. And then he went on to say further, he said, but I think if we had the answer to that question, it would be the most important information that the human race, that humanity could have. So, now of course, if he were to get that question answered by the Srimad Bhagavatam, the answer to that question would be yes. And we're hearing about that. The question was, is the ultimate force at the very origin of the universe, is it benevolent? That was his question. You know, basically he was asking, is there a benevolent God behind the whole thing here? You know, and he said he didn't presume to know the answer, and he thought that was a very important question to get answered. So, of course, if he was hearing from the Bhagavatam, the answer to that question would be, very definite yes, and we're hearing about that this morning. We're hearing about how that benevolent force, the vital force or whatever you want to call it, at the very origin of the universe is so benevolent that even when you get killed by him, you get benefited. Here, Diti is hearing about how her two sons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, they're going to be killed. Confirmed. They're going to be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And but they're going to get benefited. They're going to get liberated. And she's very happy to hear that. Now, somebody who wasn't so familiar with Krishna conscious philosophy might hear that and they think, this is, that's pretty weird. I mean, how could be getting killed be a benefit? You know, they might think, you guys got a weird philosophy. You know, somebody's getting killed, and, well, they got to understand that it could be understood in this light, okay? Say you're dreaming. Say somebody's dreaming, okay? And you could see that they're having a horrible nightmare. You know, they're lying there on their bed, and they're going, ah, tiger, tiger, help, help, help me, somebody, tiger, tiger, like that. And, you know, they're just screaming. You could see they're, like, really freaked out. And you come along, and you go, you know, you push them and say, hey, Huddy Butt, wake up, wake up. And you wake them up. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, it's obviously a good thing. They're just, there's no, it's a dream. They're in a dream. You wake somebody up from a dream to actual reality, you're doing them a favor. So the thing is, this whole material existence is like a dream. Be honest with you. Say somebody was having a sleeping there, same analogy, and they were going, oh, man, this is so great. This is so great. And you woke them up from a good dream. Still, you'd be doing them a favor because it's just sleep. So in 1971, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in London, and he talked about this point. I'm going to read what he said. He says, Krishna is eternal. We are eternal, and our dealings with Krishna are also eternal. But sometimes it becomes interrupted by this maya, which is called swapna. Swapna means dream life. As dream has no fact, Prabhupada says, it is all hallucination. Similarly, our detachment from Krishna is also an hallucination. Okay, so if you help somebody become free from a hallucination, you're doing them a favor. Says, actually, there is no detachment, and when we are covered by this hallucination, and then he gives his example, just like in a dream, we cry, oh, here is tiger, tiger, where? And then he goes, similarly, this forgetfulness of Krishna is like that. We simply have to follow the rules and regulations given by the great acharyas. Then immediately we can revive our Krishna consciousness. It doesn't take even a second. The method, just like you are dreaming, and Prabhupada goes back to his analogy, there is tiger, tiger. And if somebody pushes you, why are you doing that? You go, and immediately you become aware, oh, tiger, finished. So Prabhupada goes, so one has to give this push that there is no tiger. Then immediately the whole hallucination is gone. Okay, so, you know, we're in the hallucination. Conditioned souls are in the hallucination. And so where does this push come from? Prabhupada goes on to say, so this pushing method is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Personally, Krishna personally. Does anybody know what the pushing is? The pushing to wake us up? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. There's a song by one of the acharyas that... Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, Prabhupada says, Jeev Jago, Goda Chandra Bole. Goda Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is asking everyone, wake up. You know, the same dreaming, wake up. And then he quotes the song again. Jeev Jago, Goda Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya, Pisa Chira Kole. Why are you sleeping in the lap of this Maya, illusory energy? Why are you sleeping? Jeev Jago, Goda Chandra Bole, get up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the pushing, the point push, is Enochi Esodi Maya, Nasi Bado Lagi. He goes, I have brought this, osodi means medicine, or almost like panacea. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, speaking as Lord Chaitanya is saying, I brought the medicine, you know, which will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you are suffering. And that's the Hare Krishna mantra. And he goes on to say, you have no experience in your country. Oh, Prabhupada gives another really good example now. He says, in India, there are snake charmers. If one is bitten by a snake, he remains unconscious. In the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada refers to that as comatose. Comatose. And comatose, the dictionary definition of the word comatose is a state of deep unconsciousness for a prolonged or indefinite period. That's comatose, or that's the kind of thing that's being referred to here. Okay, so if one is bitten by the snake, he remains unconscious or comatose. by mantra, he can be brought into consciousness and light. If a man is snake bitten, and then Papa gives an example, you know, somebody's, he actually experienced that. When he was in India, he saw there was a snake charmer who brought a comatose person back to consciousness by chanting these mantras. So he actually saw it work. So Prabhupada says, this is material mantra. The spiritual mantra, Hare Krishna, if you practice it just according to the rules and regulations, you become liberated. See, you wake up from that comatose condition. It says, Nam Bas. There are three stages of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. First stage is Nam Aparad, offensive. Then second stage is Nam Bas. And the third stage is Shudanam. Generally, in the beginning, we are offensive. Therefore, 10 kinds of offenses should be avoided. So while trying to avoid the offenses, it becomes Nam Bas. And in the period of Nam Bas, one becomes liberated. When he chants Shudanam, he directly sees Krishna and enjoys his company, just like Haridas Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji. Interesting how he chose Jagannath Das Babaji, those two people as the examples, but he did. He said, they used to do. That was the stage they were chanting on. So Prabhupada says, so there is so much perfection. And then he goes on. We are sleeping under the spell of this Maya, and this is the only medicine in this age. That's an important thing to remember. We're sleeping under the spell of this Maya, and this is the only medicine for this age. And then, of course, he quotes, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatira, Nita. This is a fact. If we take seriously and do it nicely, this very life, we become liberated without any doubt. That's a fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Iha haite sarva siddhi haibe tomara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blesses, quote, you will get all perfection simply by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. So that's an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave in London in 1971. And then just elaborating a little bit more on that point here. This is from the Nectar of Devotion. You know, this in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 5, I believe it is, it says, in the Garuda Purana, the stress on hearing is expressed very nicely. It is said, the state of conditioned life in the material world is just like a man lying unconscious, having been bitten by a snake. This is because both such unconscious states can be ended by the sound of a mantra. When a man is snake bitten, he does not die immediately, but first becomes unconscious and remains in a comatose condition. Anyone who is in the material world is also sleeping, as he is ignorant of his actual self or his actual duty and his relationship with God. So materialistic life means that one is bitten by the snake of Maya, illusion, and thus, without any Krishna consciousness, he is almost dead. Now, the so-called dead man bitten by a snake can be brought back again to life by the chanting of some mantra. There are expert chanters of these mantras who can perform this feat. Similarly, one can be brought back into Krishna consciousness from the deadly unconscious state of material life by hearing the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so that's the program. Now, in the meantime, though, it's not recommended that we're impractical. You know, like in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is speaking to Krishna, and he's expressing to him that, you know, how can I fight? You know, there's all my friends and relatives and teachers on the other side. If I kill them, the spoils will be tainted by blood. He's presenting all these things. And Krishna says to him, you know, and Krishna, one of the things Krishna says in response is he said, Matra sparsha stakonteya satoshna sukadukada agama paino nichastam statiksha shabharata. He tells him you have to be tolerant. You know, you have to be tolerant. You know, this is the material world. These things are going to be there. But you got to remember the philosophy. Basically, that's what he's preaching to Arjuna. He's not trying to tell him, hey, there's not going to be any, you know, undesirable situations or things you're going to experience, but you got to tolerate them and just, you know, proceed with the program of trying to become spiritually realized. And then in the next verse he says, Yam hi na vyati anti ete purusham purusharshaba samaduka sukadiram somrtat vaya kalpate, that a person who is steady in happiness and distress, and equal in both like that. And he continues with his duty. He's certainly eligible for liberation. So that's the idea. You know, that's the idea that we have to be, you know, practical. You know, also in the Nectar Devotion, in that chapter where it gives the different the regulative principles, it gives, you know, the first ten or first five out of the first set of ten is dealing with the spiritual master. Then there's another set of ten after that, and the fifth one is one should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. See, so in other words, like Prabhupada, he was practical. You know, Prabhupada, if he had to, he was a little sick, he maybe go to a doctor. Just so many examples are there. But he was always conscious of the fact that this is, you know, this is material life. This is a dream, and the really important thing is to be engaged in devotional service. And in the meantime, I got to do what I got to do for this body and, you know, the mind like that. So that's there. And and the reason I mention that is because it's easy to get diverted. Like there's famous past number. Prabhupada definitely at least told this story at least once or twice in classes he gave about when Indra offended some sage, and he became and he got cursed to become a pig. So Indra became a pig, He became a pig as a result of this curse. He offended some sage. So there's Indra as a pig, and somehow or another things weren't going very well in heaven without the presence of Indra, because after all, he's the king of heaven, you know. So Brahma got involved, and Brahma went to where Indra was, and he said, "Okay, look, I'm going to help you out. We're going to get you out of this miserable condition, and you know, so you could resume your service back in the heavenly planets. So we're going to excuse you this time. We'll override the curse somehow." And Indra goes, no thanks. I'm okay. I'm okay. I got my pig wife. I got my piglet children. I got all this mud to wallow in. I got plenty of stools to eat. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. You know, but no thank you. Thank you, but no thank you." And then Lord Brahma, he said, "Wow, this guy's really an illusion." So if I'm remembering the story correctly, he killed his wife and he killed the children. And then Indra got like so shocked and, you know, realized, "Oh my God, what else?" So he agreed and he went back, you know, like that. So, that's kind of like the position of the conditioned soul. Mayas, you know, what was it? Avaranaratmika Shakti and Prapshapatmika Shakti. She has a throwing potency and then a covering potency. And it's very powerful. See? So we just have to really kind of always be reminding ourselves of what our real business is here in this world, which is to just, you know, plug right in, take full shelter of the process of devotional service, just really being real serious about practicing the most basic thing, chanting Hare Krishna, trying to work at avoiding the 10 offenses. We recite them every morning like that. And just from what we heard, according to this, that should work. Just, you know, by endeavoring, striving to chant without offense, we'll go from nam aparad to nam bas. And Prabhupada was saying in the nam bas stage, you become liberated. And then after that, you get to shuddha nam, and you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You know, Prabhupada gave the example of Haridas Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji. Of course, we believe he was in that category, that you're actually experiencing the association of Krishna while you're going about whatever you got to do here in this world, your service like that. So that's the ultimate goal. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Dave Ratabu. Yeah. Sorry, that was the first hand I saw up. So Archie to raise his hand, but I didn't see it. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhrigupati Prabhu. So you were just mentioning this going from Namabas to Shudanam. And we see in some of the songs, actually practically all the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas, there's this deep mood of humility where it's like they're really repenting for their fallen condition. So I was wondering if you could speak about the role that repentance has in kind of just going beyond the stage of being offensive to chanting with purity, just that mood of repentance, how much of a role does it play? Mm.
Well, just one thought comes to my mind right off the bat. There's one song by Narottam Das Thakur that Prabhupada was saying, Vishaya Chadiyakana. And anyway, in the translation of the song, he said, lamentation is purification. So, you know, if a devotee's feeling like that, I mean, the famous verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where he's saying, he's considering himself, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. I'm more sinful than Jagai Madai. And anybody who takes my name, they lose all their part. So he's feeling like that. Now, he was a, you know, super elevated Vaishnava, but he's feeling like that. And it intensifies. It intensifies the bhakti. So, yeah, it's favorable. But, you know, there's that expression, palena parichate, you judge your process by the result. So if somebody's lamenting like that, and as a result of that, their service is being decreased, that's not good. That's not good. The idea is you judge a process by the result. If somebody's feeling like very, you know, humble and fallen and lamenting, and as a result of that, they're trying more intensely to become Krishna conscious, that's good. That's purifying. Actually, Prabhupada said you could, Chanaka Pandit said you could take gold from a filthy place. So I remember, it might be the only thing I memorized before I became a devotee. There was a book called Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. And in the introduction, he said, remorse is a most regrettable sentiment. He said, if you have behaved badly in the past, repent, make what amends you can, and address yourself to behaving better in the future. Rolling in the muck is not the best way to get clean. So we don't want to be rolling in the muck, you know. Oh, I'm so fallen. No, but if it's, as I said, if it's you're lamenting and you're remorseful or repentant like that, and that's an impetus to, you know, be more serious and engage, that's good.
So there's a difference between humility, which allows one to go deeper into chanting, and insecurity.
Yes, or despair like that. There's a difference. Yeah. Judge a process by the result. Archita Prabhu.
Again, I have to thank you for a wonderful class on very short notice. As you know, there was some scheduling snafu, and the person who was supposed to give didn't show up. Anyway, just clarification on the three stages, because we have so many new devotees here. There's Nam. So Nam means the holy name. Aparada. Aparada means offense. You're chanting with offense. And there's Nam, again, the holy name. Abhas. It's not Nambas.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Bas. Bas means done. Yeah, finished. It's Nam Abhas. It's Abhas. It's a clearing. You're clearing up the offenses. And then, of course, there's Shuddhanam, this final stage. I just wanted to make that clear because we have a lot of new people here who may not know those terms very well.
Nam Abhas. So what did I said Nam Bas. What does that mean? Does that have any meaning? Anyway, don't worry about it. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Ki Jai.
Discouraged.